significant things. I integrated a forecasting system for inventory replenishment, and it completely overlapped. It perfectly overlapped with the store forecasts, and I got a lot of praise for that. And did some other things with some elasticity projects to improve by 7%. This I know it sounds kind of plain, but boxed paper. You open up a big box of paper, and you get all these different reams, like 24 different reams, and I don't know how many pages there are, like 800 or 1,000 or something like that. And there are three types of paper. One is draft, low quality, where it might run a little bit, but you don't care because you got to print your 300-page manuscript and distribute it out, or you got to make 15 copies of 80 pages and distribute it out. You don't care about quality, you care about content. And then you got the regular quality, and then you got the color. Think of it as glossy quality. Anyway, we did a study on that and improved the profit margin on a $450 million annual sales item. We improved the profit margin by 7% by doing cross elasticity analysis, and that was a lot of fun. And I didn't like the way that was properly rewarded. I'll tell you this right now, Mark. I had 23, 25 years in U.S. business, and my impression overall was that the U.S. as an industry, except for, say, marketing research and consulting firms that had VPs and founders as doctorates in statistics, all the rest did not know how to exploit statistical analysis, nor did they properly reward it. I encountered a few companies that had founders who were excellent, PhD stat, PhD mathematics, with a good deal of statistics in their repertoire. And there's a story about a fellow named Deming. Deming gave up on the United States in the 70s because he thought that American business were a bunch of dumb shits when it came to experimental design and statistical analysis for testing. So he went to Japan, and he is now considered the god of quality control in Japan. So that's an interesting story. Deming. I can't remember his first name. Deming. He is principally responsible for the dynamic export trade of Japan that went from semi-crappy in the 60s to dynamo excellent in the 80s. I'm talking about, Nissan, Toyota, Mitsubishi, all their big names, Hitachi, all their big names. They adopted the statistical models and testing and designs set up by Deming. And the United States told Deming, get lost. We have our own ways of doing things here. And we had substandard ways. Okay, I actually quit at Staples and took a job shortly afterwards in a consulting firm that I thought was going to work out better than it did. And I got laid off from that too. There's a pattern with the two major layoffs that I had, Mark, and it was basically that the political protection for lesser quality analysts was very strong, and they let go people like me who they knew were more competent and threatened their jobs. So they basically asked their superiors, can you get rid of Jim and get rid of a couple others in that group because they're doing such good work that they're threatening us. And their relationship was much longer in duration than our newer relationship. So I was let go along with a friend of mine named Bruce. And then at the company in 2003 that laid me off, they were very plain. They were very open and honest. And they said, look, we just can't keep you busy. We're going to hire, for your salary, we're going to hire two people. And we're going to make more money. And we wish you the best. And we're going to give you 3 or 4 months of salary. And, good luck to you. And I said, okay, I understand. Thank you. I think I'm going to start my own newsletter. And they thought, well, that's good. There's another guy who you interviewed with and who was gone before you were picking your first day of work, and he started a newsletter, and he's doing fine. So we wish you well. And 2 years later, one of the VPs called me up from the firm that laid me off and said, "Jim, you were top notch, and sorry we had to let you go. And now we're starting to see all these troubles with Lehman Brothers, and you kind of called that out. And we didn't know what to do with all that, but we realize your excellence now, and we wish you the best with your newsletter." Okay, that's sort of my background. PhD statistics. It's the three major fields where I touched on and did good work in were quality control, forecasting models, and marketing research methods. And I had a lot of fun in my career. I really did. I can honestly say that on the great majority of days, I went to work and I thought, I'm heading off to the office. I got buddies there. We got some interesting work. And I didn't look at the clock to say, oh gosh, when's it going to be 5:30? I got to get out of here. No, not much at all. So that's my background. And I've had this newsletter since April and May of 2004. And it's been a long ride. This April is going to be 17 years, Mark. And this has been a long ride. I have gone through a couple of different cycles. I forecasted in advance the Lehman disaster. I predicted in advance the 0%. I predicted in advance the quantitative easing, which is Western blessing by the economic priesthood that printing money to cover your debt, which is called monetizing debt, is a good thing, because our priests say it's a good thing. But before we did it, we thought it was a bad thing. So we're full of heretics. And now we've moved away from the economists being the high priests to the medical doctors being the high priests.
That's true. Boy, that's a whole nother topic.
Yes, it is.
Which is very interesting, by the way.
You can't question the high priest. If you do, you're put in jail now.
Ah, it's so crazy.
I actually believe that if I mouth off too much at a security guard at a mall about the stupidity of their taking my temperature at the neck and forehead, like what the hell are you doing? Get your face out of mine. If I make a big stink about it and then go on to talk about the planned genocide in the country with the vaccine, they could call the police and have me taken away as a public health risk. That's what I call being called down by the medical high priests.
I know. It's so crazy. And the COVID vaccine it's killing people. It's causing Bell's palsy, convulsions, other people.
Killed Henry Aaron.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that getting much publicity? I really don't know.
No.
I kind of doubt it.
I don't think so. It's not.
Well, in England, a health minister has come forward and saying that the mRNA Moderna vaccine does nothing to prevent a virus, and it could be very dangerous. So we're starting to see a little bit of glimmer of light for the positive side.
Well, I always get these two confused. I can't remember if it was Pfizer or Merck. One of the two has stopped producing.
Merck has made an about face. And I would give them credit, but I don't really know what their situation is. Let me just raise an issue here. This is really quite fascinating and interesting. It's full of intrigue what's happening. There have been at least one or two big pharma companies that have been captured. And by that, I mean a founder, a CEO, or a VP or two have been charged in secrecy with major crimes.
Whoa.
And it's not been made public, and they've been forced to flip. Do you know what I mean by flip?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give an example. Pfizer had a VP. I know that one of their top chief science officers, what was his name? Yaden. Yaden. Yaden, out of Britain. He was coming out to make all kinds of comments about how they've never isolated COVID. And I let me make a very clear statement here. Oh, gosh. This is like a slap in the face of human stupidity and lack of awareness. Mm-hmm. I don't qualify for that description. Okay. Back in February, March, and April, it was called the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And the data on TV was for cases, deaths, etc., of coronavirus. And then around May, it suddenly switched to COVID cases. Mm-hmm. And they didn't explain why the transition to a different name. I'll tell you why. Because the hospitals were largely empty. We didn't have any corona cases, and they couldn't isolate a coronavirus. They couldn't prove that there was anything in existence in North America of that description. So they changed the name to COVID and started calling lots and lots of different respiratory virus conditions COVID, like tuberculosis, like pneumonia, like HIV, like SARS, like MERS. It's all COVID. And now there's no influenza data anymore because it's all COVID. This is effing crazy.
Yeah, I had heard that it hadn't been properly isolated. They really haven't done the genomic sequence on the virus. They haven't really proven what the virus is, correct?
That's correct. In fact, there's a query from a medical professional in England, and this took place in around November. And it was a woman, and she confronted their equivalent of the Center of Disease Control. Let's just call it the UK Health Ministry. She confronted their health ministry in England and said, I need some assistance here. We've got a laboratory. We're trying to develop a vaccine of our own, and we need to have an isolated coronavirus. And the health ministry was honest, which is remarkable. They could have given her a song and dance and delayed and strung her out. But instead, they said, well, we don't have any at this moment. And she said, you don't have any at this moment, or you don't have any at all ever? And they said, well, we haven't had one yet. And so she asked, well, when you're producing what you call a vaccine, how do you legitimately claim that it's from an isolated virus that's attenuated? I'll explain that later. And the UK health ministry said, well, we're basing our vaccine on a computer model.
Exactly.
Okay, so this is a bunch of nonsense. If you've got a real virus agent and it's nasty, you isolate it and you basically beat it to a pulp. You subject it to sunlight, radiation, maybe chemicals, maybe heat, and you make it weak as hell. And I'll give you an example. Suppose you want to fix a boxing match, and you've got, say, Joe Willis. I'll just make up a name. Joe Willis, and you want to weaken him. Okay, so you don't feed him right for the last 3 or 4 days. You make him run and run and run, get really tired, and you don't allow him to rest a lot. And you beat the crap out of him with cushions on his face. And then you send him into the ring, and he loses. Okay, that is what a vaccine is. You attenuate the virus, which means you weaken it by whatever means. And then you have it multiplied, and then you inject it into a person's arm. And some of it might even be dead viruses. So you got weakened, you got dead, and your body thinks, oh my gosh, there's some corona there. Let's go attack it. And you build your antibodies, and you get all your immune system soldiers and workhorses to get going, and you conquer the invader. That's what a vaccine is. It's a battle. A staged battle against a weakened opponent, and the opponent is the virus. Most people don't know even how you make a virus vaccine. It's just amazing the ignorance here and there, everywhere. The ignorance is astonishing. What's a virus? I don't know. How big is a virus? I don't know. How do you kill a virus? I don't know. How do you identify a virus? I don't know. Well, then you're a slave to the news and the health minister who wants to kill you.
My
This is
God.
1984, and you can't make this stuff up. Mark, we're in deep trouble
I know, believe me, I know.
as a society.
I know.
And I let's move to the good side. Let's
Okay,
jump
great.
tracks here, and
I want to ask you.
get to the new structure that you wanted to talk about.
Yes. I would like, if it's okay, for you to start with the raid on the Vatican. Can you do that, or is that too late in the game? Do you need to go back to the Civil War?
No, that's okay, but I must tell why the raid took place and give a little preface.
Yes,
Let me give a
please.
quick preface.
Sure.
Okay, really quickly. After the Civil War of the United States, right around 1870, let's not get into the Lincoln story at all. Okay, let's
That's
just
good.
talk about the bankruptcy because the London bankers killed him, and they had a Lee Harvey Oswald. I'm sorry, John Wilkes Booth, all set up. Same model, same type of people. Okay, in 1871, a company was created called the U.S. Inc. Corporation, United States Inc. Corporation, Inc. with a C, like incorporated. And its lord, its owner, was the Vatican. Now, for those who think the Vatican is a religious institution, you need to wake the hell up. The Vatican has been, ever since the Dark Ages, a giant financial institution. Most of the Crusades were to go to the Middle East and steal Arab gold. There were lots of battles between the Vatican and the Templars. Okay, so this company was set up, and the Vatican bailed out the United States. And they basically said, "We'll tell you what to do, and we want your tax money, and the rest will be borrowed." So all the tax revenue. Now, in February of this past year, 2020, Donald Trump declared bankruptcy for the U.S. Inc. Corporation. And it was not really much in the news. There was a little bit in the alternative news. I remember seeing it. And I thought, uh-oh, this is big. The Vatican's not going to be happy campers. And you tell me, is the Vatican's loss of $3.5 trillion of tax money from the United States per year a motive to control and interfere with the election and create a fraudulent victory for Biden? Is that a motive? $3.5 trillion a year in income?
It could be.
I think definitely, because if you've got a motive on the table of stealing $1,000, I think plenty and plenty of people would take up a gun and shoot in order to get the thousand. So $3.5 trillion is a good deal more, a lot of zeros on that. Okay, so when Trump, this is a brilliant sequence. Whenever I say Trump, I mean Team Trump,
Okay.
the team that recruited him. It's a big group. And they've got the NSA, National Security Agencies, at their side,
Well,
which means they got
let me
all
throw in
the.
a question. Sorry to interrupt you. Let me throw in a question. Was this Trump presidency, I don't want to say planned, but weren't they looking for somebody like Trump since the Kennedy assassination?
I think, and this is hard to prove, but I believe an organization was formed. Right before, during, and right after the Kennedy assassination. And they really were biding their time. They did not have any immediate agenda except to plan how they were going to unseat this Talmudic Khazarian cabal that goes back to the Babylonians for their debt slavery. We're talking about 2,000 or 3,000 years of a very serious and organized, brilliant group of evil people. Since I started the newsletter in 04, I've been calling them the banker cabal. Mm-hmm. Some just call them the banksters. They're not all bankers, though, because they've got firmly in their camp the big pharma companies, because Rockefeller brought them in after buying them and rigging in the Congress in the 50s and 60s all kinds of laws that established the monopoly and made a lot of the rules. I'll give you an example. Like, oh gosh, there's an anti-inflammatory medication. It's called turmeric. Well, we're not going to have that produced in Big Pharma. We're not going to allow any doctors in the AMA to prescribe turmeric, but it's excellent and very cheap root powder for inflammation. Okay, turmeric is off the books. Why is that? Because Rockefeller made it that way. All right, this organization is very deep. They're also involved, not just banks and pharmaceutical, they're involved in the energy firms. They haven't wanted for 80 years Americans and Western Europeaners, Europeans, they haven't wanted them to go to the free energy systems, you know, the Tesla devices, mm-hmm. because they're going to keep us on petroleum. They have two benefits from that. One is they can make a lot of money and own the electrical grid. But second is we can pollute the earth, and they love destroying the planet. They're Satanists. Okay, so this group has been around for a very long time. And back to Trump, I've got it on pretty good word in 2014 and 15, they recruited Donald Trump, and he turned them down.
That makes sense.
That's the first round, and his reason was simple. He said, I am not a young man anymore. I would gladly take this job, but my family would be left very vulnerable. So what they did was they negotiated the protection of his family. And I don't know all the details of that by any means. But by the time we got to early 2016, they had Trump as a candidate with loads of promises for security. And I think they had some understanding that his Florida estate would become basically a military compound and homeschooling for the kids, you know, things like that.
Wow.
Lots and lots of compromises were made, though, where Trump had to take certain figures, certain people as cabinet members in order to maintain the peace and to limit the number of assassination attempts. And I don't mean that in any funny way. He's survived 20 to 30 assassination attempts. The most recent was January 9th, and he said afterwards, that's it, it's time to go to war. And that's when the military took over, January 11th. Okay, back to the Vatican. When Trump declared the bankruptcy of U.S. Inc. Incorporated, he decided, and this is very bold. Okay, remember, it's his team. It's a bunch of generals and corporate heads and judges. Most of them are military generals. Some are corporate heads, and a few are judges. And out of that comes Q, and let's not get into all that. That's a whole hour in itself.
I know.
Okay, I know. It's very difficult. But what the team Trump decided was, after we've done this bankruptcy, and remember that 2 years before, he created the Omnibus Act. This is very important. The Omnibus Act is like a global RICO law. Now, RICO is racketeering, what's the I? Investigation? Racketeering Incorporated Corruption Act, something like that. RICO, organization. I don't know what the I stands for. RICO is the Anti-Organized Crime Act, where all kinds of assets can be seized from just basically considered it ill-gotten gains. All the assets are confiscated. And what they said was, we're going to do a global RICO Act called the Omnibus Act, and it will be for crimes against humanity that involve, say, child trafficking, white woman trafficking, or any woman trafficking, narcotics trafficking, organized bond fraud, counterfeit, the whole works, okay? Those are the crimes, and the law to work against that was the Omnibus Act. And one of the first people to be targeted was a Rothschild. Do you remember? I don't remember this, but I've seen videos. Donald Trump, way back in 2017 or something like that, was on stage and he was drinking a bottle of Fuji water.
Sounds familiar.
He held up the bottle. He held it up so you could see Fuji on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he made himself kind of a silly scene. And the mainstream news said that he was losing his mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he was giving you a hint. Think of the name Fiji, not Fuji. And a Rothschild was subsequently arrested for child trafficking on Fiji Island.
Oh.
And his assets were confiscated. And I think he flipped and turned on some of his cousins. And when they flip, they get to keep a decent portion. Just think of it like a quarter of their wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to get by on, you know, like $20 billion the rest of their lives instead of 80.
Wow.
Okay. They flip. Okay, now, this Omnibus Act is critical because when Trump declared the bankruptcy of U.S. Inc. Incorporated, he basically declared war on the Vatican. He cut them off, cut their income, told them that we're no longer your debt slave, we're no longer your vassal state, and he organized an immediate attack on the Vatican.
Like a military attack.
It was coordinated with Interpol and the best elements of the European militaries. They arrested numerous Vatican bankers. I'm told 50 of them. They arrested, I'm told, almost all the cardinals. They made off with, I was originally told, 15 or 17 plane loads of assets from the Vatican. I've been updated. It was more like close to 700 flights of assets from the Vatican.
Let me ask you a quick question.
And the majority were gold.
Let me ask you.
I'm told 65 tons of gold. That's 8 times Fort Knox.
Hmm.
We declared war on the Vatican. So you think maybe they declared war back to try to steal the election? I do.
Hmm. Have you been able to verify this attack on the Vatican through any other news sources at all?
Okay, I usually make fun of people who make that kind of question.
Okay.
And we talked about this a little bit before.
I know the news is, I mean, it's just total.
Where do you get confirmation? The way I get confirmation is with droplets. Like, well, I know a retired Navy guy and some of his old buddies in the Navy, a couple are still active. They confirmed it, but it's by word.
Wow, that's pretty good confirmation.
Well, I think it's just a drip.
But
I got about 10 drips.
What rank did you say these people were?
Well, this guy was above captain.
Okay.
And he had a lot of friends. But there are a bunch of other people. Charlie Ward talks about it frequently. He was in the gold and cash movement business for many years. I got some photos from a client who's connected. And it's a picture of a portion of 65 tons. You don't just take a picture of 65 tons. If you did, you'd have to be 30 yards back. So I got a picture of a lot of different gold bars stacked up on pallets, and was told that that's part of the 65 tons. That's eight times Fort Knox. Fort Knox was about 8,000 tons. They had 65,000. Did I say 65 tons? Mm-hmm. I meant 65,000 tons.
That's
65,000 tons.
That's hard to wrap your mind around. That's so much.
It's very hard. I try to keep it in multiples of Fort Knox because people have an image of Fort Knox, and you know they have pictures of row after row after row, chest high, four different racks. So 65,000 tons of gold is a shitload, and you don't just pack that in the back of your trunk and move it off. I remember once when I was a younger fellow, I was redoing a roof, and I put on, in my Toyota pickup truck, I put about six or seven different packets of shingles.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not steer my truck properly. The next time I did it, I only did about four or five packs.
Mm.
So we're talking about very big weight here. And I talk with a different source. One of my sources, one of my methods of obtaining sources, it's sources of sources. One of my methods of obtaining sources is through my consults. And, you know, that's where you sign up for 30, 60, or 90 minutes and have your list of questions, and I do my best. Sometimes I don't know an answer to a question, but I'm finding that with the majority I do okay. And this client said to me, Jim, I've got some information on this. The issue of the Vatican raids. They call it the raids. He said it was far more than gold. It was old Bibles, like several hundred year old Bibles, like the original type King James, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Old chalices, a lot of the artifacts that were taken during the Crusades, you know, like beads and coins and chalices and trays and maybe even silverware, like special knives made of gold. I mean, lots and lots of stuff. And then the manuscripts and the documents and like the Da Vinci originals that you saw in like the movie Da Vinci Code with Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that is rather factual. I've got stories about the Vatican, and we don't have